I should just say, we really appreciate how much everyone has been praying during the coronavirus. It was very encouraging to know that we could bring requests to you guys and you could be praying for them. And in a lot of ways, we have seen God answer prayer. I mean, the fact that we're together here now is a great answer to prayer that we just need to take the time to remember. It is because God has graciously allowed a middle ground to be found between the governor's orders and what we consider to be God's orders to not neglect meeting together. So let's just not take this for granted and just remember to praise God for how he provides for us. And I think it's just a living answer to prayer. You guys being here today are a living, breathing answer to prayer, and we need to just praise God for that. Can you believe the last time we were here was on March 15th? Can you believe that? Almost 3 months ago. And I don't know if you remember, but we had Mission Sunday that Sunday, and we had a big old meal in the back there. That was the last time we came together. I wanted to have a meal today to celebrate, you know, coming together, but we thought we'll have to wait on that a few more Sundays. We have been praying for God to guide our president, our governor, our county board of supervisors, and praise God, he has. It's remarkable that it has come about that we can gather today. People were estimating, predicting that churches wouldn't be able to meet until July, until August. So it's wonderful that that got bumped up and we can gather together. This morning, I want to do something a little different to start off. I want us to take some time to reflect on how God has been faithful during the coronavirus. He is worthy of praise, and that's what the psalm is focused on today, Psalm 145, praise psalm to God. And I thought, well, let's write our own little psalm right now as we begin the service together. He has brought us through a difficult time, has he not? I mean, it's remarkable. We were going through anxiety. There's times where I'm sure you at times have felt depressed about having to stay in your home and not being able to get out. I mean, it's been a difficult time. But the fact that you have been able to get through it is because of God sustaining you. And I think if you're a part of our church, it's because you have a different perspective on the coronavirus than the world does. And we need to praise God for that. I want to praise God for how he has guided us through this roller coaster quarantine. We were hearing different things from different leaders, but praise God, the elders here at Grace were able to meet almost every week. We became pros at Zoom over the last 3 months, and the elders, yeah, it might surprise you. We've met more in, you know, these 3 months than we usually meet in a whole year. Just trying to stay up to date with everything, and that really is a praise. I want to praise God that we were able to have peace while the world around us was filled with anxiety and fear. You remember how crazy it was that first week? People run into the stores to get toilet paper, to get milk, couldn't find eggs. I mean, people freaked out. And I honestly believe it's because they weren't grounded in the peace and the certainty that God provides. We shouldn't be surprised that a society, a godless society that puts their hope in man, is going to freak out when something like this happens, because it's every man for yourself, you know? We saw that very clearly that first week. I remember talking to people and just seeing that, I mean, there's a pretty marked difference between our mindset and theirs. I remember asking people, you know, the main question isn't how much toilet paper is there in the supermarket. The main question is, are you ready to die? As a Christian, that's the main fear of the coronavirus. You might actually get it and die. But if you're a Christian, you don't have to be afraid of that. Death for the Christian is actually the beginning of life in the presence of our Savior. As Christians, we knew we don't need to live in fear of the coronavirus because God has already dealt with the worst that the coronavirus can bring. 1 Corinthians 15:55 to 56 says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's already conquered death. In some ways, he's already conquered the coronavirus. It's already been dealt with because he's taken the sting out of even the coronavirus. God helped us from the very beginning of the pandemic because he's already dealt with death on the cross. That's just amazing to think about. God provided for us in some surprising ways. You guys started getting text messages from Grace Baptist. That was a little surprising. Some of you are like, I wish she'd stopped sending all these text messages. But it was great. We were able to communicate right to you. We started using Zoom. I mean, we all of a sudden were brought into the year of Zoom. It's going to be remembered as that. We started using that for men's and women's Bible studies. And this is just fun to say, we had more men show up for the men's Bible study on Zoom than we usually do. So that was a neat benefit, and I'm grateful to God for that. We even used a radio transmitter to preach the gospel. My dad was joking with me and saying, Tim, you're a radio preacher now. If you go outside our parking lot, you can't hear the signal, but hey, for that parking lot, I was a radio preacher for 3 Sundays there. I could tell you more about the story of how we found that radio transmitter later, but I'll just tell you, it is not easy to find a radio transmitter during the coronavirus. So praise God for that. God has been so faithful to us. I know many churches struggled with their services, doing a live stream, all these different things. But praise God, we were able to get something to our people every Sunday of the coronavirus. And you can tell I'm talking about it like the coronavirus is over. Because I feel like if we're back at church together, we're good. We're good. We're going to be fine. And Dave Fraley already mentioned what an encouragement it was to see you guys continue to give during this time. And that really is a wonderful testimony of your commitment to the church family and seeing God at work. So in many, many ways, we were able to see benefits and good things that came about from this virus. And by the way, that is such a Christian way to think about the virus. If you hear anybody say, there's some good that came out of that virus, that is such a strange response in the world. And it's undergirded by trusting in the sovereignty of God. He can take the worst and turn it into something good. He can bring about good. He works all things together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. God provided for us with all the people who have helped keep things going during the virus. It was amazing to see how God used different gifts in our church family. And I just want to thank each of you different ways that you helped us, praying for the leaders. We had a lot of people help with putting the services, getting them online and things like that. The A-team did a great job of stepping up and helping. I think it's just wonderful to take the time to be grateful to God for how he got us through this. One reason I want to boast about the goodness of God is because that's what we're commanded to do as believers. We're commanded to praise God. We're commanded for one generation to proclaim the goodness of God to the next generation. And I hope that's what the coronavirus will be for us as we look back on it and talk about it to our children and to others. Let's try to focus on how God was at work during that time, how he brought us through a trial and strengthened our faith. This morning, we're going to look at a psalm that was written to praise God. We're going to look at Psalm 145, and I'm going to be focusing on just the first part of it, the first 9 verses. Let me read it for you, and then we will pray. So this is Psalm 145, a song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall desire your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Let's pray. Father God, we find it easy to join our voices in this psalm of praise to you. You have given us an abundant list of ways to praise you. The fact that we're healthy enough to come here today is an opportunity to praise you. The fact that we're able to gather, we could just go on and on. And I hope that our time together this morning is the start of each of us writing a psalm of praise, that we can continue to write the rest of this day, maybe the rest of this week, just thinking about ways that we are grateful to you, God. We want to be people who are full of praise. Help us see how to do that as we study your word today. Amen. We're not sure exactly when David wrote this psalm. Was it when he was a shepherd? Was it later when he was a king? It seems from the context that it's probably when he had become a king because of some of the words that he uses. He talks later in the psalm, he talks about how God helps him overcome his enemies. And we know that his enemies became pretty apparent when he started to become king. He writes in this psalm about the need to declare the works of God from one generation to the next. 1 Chronicles 3 tells us that David had 24 children. I counted them all up this week, trying to keep track of how many he had. It was at least 24. And so you can understand how he understood the importance of passing on the greatness of God to the next generation. Unfortunately, if you study the life of David, you see that he didn't always do that great a job. Some of his kids, they may have understood who God was, but didn't choose to follow him. And I'm not saying that parents are responsible for the salvation of their children, but I'm just saying David understood the need to pass on the greatness of God to the next generation. And that's what we as a church family want to have as a focus for us. We want to make sure we understand the importance of proclaiming God to the next generation, and we want to be active in doing that as well. That's why we started the service today the way we did, just recounting the ways God provided for us during the coronavirus. Hopefully that is how we will talk about it when we, you know, talk about it in the future. Just think about how God provided for us and got us through such a difficult time. When this is all over, we want to look back on the coronavirus and think about how God used it in our lives. He reminded us that he is sovereign. He's not surprised by the virus. If you remember early on in this pandemic, we looked at Psalm 27. The title of that sermon was "The Character of God Cancels Out Fear." And we want to do that as we look at this psalm too. You can see that it is the character of God that motivates David to praise him. We're going to praise God for who he is. We're going to praise God for his character. And one way to understand this psalm, one way to break it down, is to look at the different times, the different time frames that David tells himself and tells others to praise God. Okay, we're going to look at three different time frames for when we need to be praising God. The first one is praising God in the future, praising him for what he's going to do in the future. The other is to praise him day by day. And then the last one is one that I've already mentioned. We need to praise him from one generation to the next. So that's going to be our outline for today. The future, praising God for what awaits us in the future, praising God day by day, and praising God from one generation to the next. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 145. "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever." This is how he starts the psalm. He's already talking about a time frame where we are praising God for eternity. We mention that a lot here. By gathering together now, by praising God and worshiping him now, we're preparing for what our future is going to be like. When we're in heaven, we're going to be in the presence of God, and we will be filled with praise for God. That's right. David, this verse, "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever," this puts David's relationship with God in perspective. David was a king, but he knew his place before the king. The word he uses for God in this psalm is Elohim. Okay, it's not the personal name for God, Yahweh. It's the general name for God, Elohim. But he says, God, you are my king. So he's focusing on the sovereign reign of God. And he says, you are king and I am your humble servant. Verse 1 puts the timing of praising God in perspective. David recognized that he will be praising God forever and ever. In the Hebrew, it's this idea of olam, forever and ever, for eternity. I will be praising you for eternity. You know, can you get tired? Can you run out of things to praise God for? Do you come to the bottom of reasons to praise God? You don't. You don't, because he's infinite. What's the best thought you can think of? I mean, it's God. God is the best. And you can't even try to limit him, because the best idea you can think of, then just multiply that by infinity. That's God. We need to understand that when we praise God today, we are preparing ourselves for the future. A glorious future awaits us because we will be able to live in the presence of God. We have to keep that in mind. And it's very easy to forget. You start working, you make your plans, and you think, oh, if I can live for things in this earth, we need to constantly remind ourselves we're living for the future. We're living to be in the presence of God. And remember, this is what Adam and Eve had before the fall. They lived in the presence of God. This is what Eden, this is what paradise is and was for them. We're just trying to get back to what God intended the world to be made for. Jesus told his disciples, Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We looked at this last week, actually, in Luke chapter 10. Jesus wanted his disciples to have joy, and the greatest joy actually did not come from ministry. You know, they were casting out demons. They were doing miraculous work. And Jesus told them, don't rejoice that you can do these signs and wonders. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what's worth rejoicing in. And we want to make sure that everyone here has thought about that and has recognized that's what we need to be living for. Living for eternity. Making sure that we have repented of our sins, trusted that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us, and rose from the dead so that we could live with him. That's the most important message that we want to share with anyone. Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? Treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's just such a good diagnostic tool, is it not? You know, where is your heart? Where is your treasure now? What consumes your thoughts now? Well, that's probably where your heart is. You're tempted to be focused on that. We want to recalibrate our minds to be focused on heaven. And if we make that our treasure, our hearts will follow. And we'll find ourselves living for that more than for what this earth has to offer. We need to think about praising God in heaven, because that is when we will worship him perfectly. I mean, I love coming together and worshiping with you, because it gives us a taste. It gives us a picture. We get to hear and see and feel what it's like to be living in the Spirit, to be worshiping God. That excites us for what heaven will be like. We're not living for the here and now. We're living for what God has in store for us. So the first time frame that we're to focus on praising God is in the future. That can actually help us calibrate how we worship him now. The second time frame that we are to praise God is day by day. We can see this in verse 2 of Psalm 145. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. How often do we need to praise God? Every day. Every day. You know, we understand the need to feed our bodies every day. How often do you need to eat? Every day. How often do you need to work out? Every day. How many steps do you need to take today? I've got to do that every day. You know, I know people who love that. It's easy to fixate on that. And good for you. Let's think the same way about praising God. We need to feed ourselves his word every day, so that we'll have, you know, food, we'll have energy to praise him. David wanted people to use this psalm to praise God every day. So he actually wrote this psalm in a special way. It's hard to see in the English, but if you knew Hebrew and read this in the Hebrew, you would see that it is an alphabetic acrostic. All of you are going back to 6th grade, or was that 3rd grade, maybe. An acrostic is where you use a letter, sometimes to spell a word down, and the first letter starts the sentence, right? Well, David did this with this psalm. He didn't spell anything down. He wrote out the Hebrew alphabet. So the first, instead of being A, B, C, D, if you wrote it in English, it is Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth. That's how he starts each line of this psalm. And the reason he does that is to help people memorize it. It's easier to memorize if you have a mnemonic device like that. And so this psalm actually has the Hebrew alphabet written into each line. There's several psalms like this that we have, but this is one of them. And I think it adds to his point here that we are to praise God every day. Well, how do you praise God? Well, memorize Psalm 145 and then just go through it and you're on your way. That's how they would memorize scripture. You know, you're wondering, well, I don't really feel like worshiping God today. I don't have the words to say. You might be depressed. You might be feeling down. If you have a psalm memorized, just watch what happens to your mind and your soul by the end of reciting that psalm. Psalm 23 is a great example. You might feel down and be thinking about how bad tomorrow is going to be. If you think about, if you recite Psalm 23, it does something to your soul. You realize, oh, I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And something happens to your soul. If you're a believer, you're filled with the Spirit, your spirit grasps onto that truth and you are put at ease. And it's not some magical, you know, mystical experience. It's just, that's how it works. How do you feed your soul in a difficult time? You eat God's word. Read God's word and it impacts you. Warren Wiersbe wrote about this psalm, "No matter how difficult and dark the day may be, there is always something for which we can praise the Lord. Even if it is only that the situation is not always this bad." Praise God, it wasn't this bad last year. Or, you know, praise God, there's going to be an end to the coronavirus. At least we can praise God, this isn't how it's always going to be. Christians have a remarkable way of being optimists. I met a stranger this week who's graduating from high school at Lemoore High, and I knew he was a Christian just because his response was, you know, the drive-in graduation was really great. I was like, wait, most high school graduates at Lemoore High are not going to be responding that way. They're going to say, oh, I wish it was like this. No, this guy, his first words were, you know, it was just a really significant time. And it wouldn't have been that way if it had been a regular graduation. And my next question was, are you a Christian? He said, yes. I said, I knew it. I knew it just because you answered the way you gave that response. I can tell your perspective is different than the majority of people around you. Praising God helps us keep our lives in perspective. If we praise God for the blessings in life, we are reminded that things could be much worse. At least we have bread and a roof over our heads. And that's what Jesus said. Seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added up to you. From Matthew 6:33. But you know what's funny? The all these things that he's referring to, he's not actually talking about very much. He's just talking about clothes and food. He's not talking about, you know, an amazing house and an awesome car. He's saying, I'll provide for you what you need to have. If you seek the kingdom, you'll have what you need. And Christians, you don't need that much, actually. If you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you can live a very happy life with very little. Amen. The first time frame to praise God is in heaven. The second time frame to praise God is every day. We need to remind ourselves of where our hope lies and think, okay, let's not get bogged down by the difficulty of this situation. Let's keep our eyes fixed on the truth of God and how he promises to give us food and give us clothes for our back. And you know what? If I've got God and those things, I'm going to be fine. Actually, if you just have God, you're going to be fine as a believer. Now look at verses 3 through 7. He says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." This time frame that he's focusing on is a generational time frame. One generation will proclaim the truth of God to the next generation. How should each generation proclaim God? They should proclaim him with great praise. Why should we praise God with great praise? Well, he's a great God. A great God deserves great worship, does he not? This is one reason we encourage everyone to sing when you come together and worship. You know, if we were coming together as a club and getting together, we wouldn't expect you to sing. You know, we would say, we don't really have anything we're singing about. Okay, everybody, let's sing our theme song. I'll start it. And then, you know, you're kind of forced to sing. This is just something you do as a part of tradition. That's not how we sing. We sing for the God who made you. We sing for the God who made the heavens. We sing for the God who made that sunset that you were amazed at last night. I mean, if you have trouble singing, think about the God that you're singing to. And then you realize you have the greatest reason to sing that is possible in the world. The heavens are singing. Do you remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees who tried to say, get your disciples to stop singing and praising? He said, if they were quiet, the very rocks would cry out. That's why he said that, is because they were singing about the Messiah. So just keep that in mind. We're very different from any other club. We're not a club. We are a priesthood of believers. And one of our jobs is to worship and is to praise. So just think that to yourself. If you have trouble singing, think back to why that is. It might be a cultural thing. It might be, I don't know, just something. You didn't grow up that way. Well, think about the God that you're singing to, and that can motivate you to sing. I was amazed watching the wedding from our brothers and sisters in Romania. I don't know if any of you watched the wedding of Christopher and Becky Inlow, but they had the congregation sing. They all looked professional. I don't know if you listened to them. Lydia and I were watching it. Like, is all they do in Romania sing? These people look. I mean, it sounds amazing. 4-5-part harmonies. You know, they're all doing it over Zoom. Like, my goodness. But if you want to know the history, actually, of Christian singing in Romania, remember they were under communism. One of the things that they cherished was singing as believers. They didn't have amazing guitars. They didn't have a sound system. They just got together, sang in the living room. That's why they got so good. I'd have to ask them to corroborate that. But I have heard that's one reason why different cultures of churches emphasize that. So we have an amazing reason to sing and to praise God, because our God is great. In verse 7, he says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." This is such an important principle in Scripture. This is how God wants the world to hear about him. He wants one generation to pass on the amazing work of God to the next generation. We can see this so clearly in Deuteronomy chapter 6, can we not? You've heard about this. Jews would memorize this. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. All the time, parents are to be talking about God to their children. This is one reason so many altars and stones of remembrance were made in Israel. Do you guys know what an Ebenezer is? An Ebenezer means stone of remembrance in Hebrew. Ebenezer, stone of remembrance. And a great example of this is when the people crossed the Jordan River. You remember? When they crossed the Jordan River, they made a memorial out of 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River. In Joshua 4:21, it says, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, 'What do these stones mean?' then you will let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground." And the verse ends, "So that you may fear the Lord your God forever." They understood, you know, children need to have a reminder, a visual cue. What happened here? This is where God brought the people across the Jordan. I was thinking, we need an Ebenezer for making it through the coronavirus. You know, our church is still here. People are still gathering. We did it. I'm not sure where we'll get the stones for that or where we would put it. But the idea is that you need a memory device. You need some way to reflect and say, see what God got us through? He did that for us. The principle is this: you must be reminded about God or you will not live the way he wants you to. This is why stones of remembrance were built. This is why Moses commanded the Jews to speak about God when they rise up and when they lie down. And verse 6 of Psalm 145 explains this. "They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. We are surrounded by examples of God's greatness. If we go outside, we are amazed by the earth and the sky. We see the plants." We have actually reminders of God's greatness all around us. And an easy way to do this with each other and with our children is use the cues that God has given us in nature to point them to him. Before we end today, I want to look at one incredible word here in verse 7. It says, "They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness." It's the word that we translate as pour forth. It's this word, nava. It means to gush out. It means to pour forth like a bubbling brook, like a spring that just continues to have water coming out. That's how one generation is to talk about God. It just keeps coming. You go and you talk to that uncle, and when you talk to him, he's going to tell you about how great God is. That's just, you just know, get ready. That's the idea. This word is used in Psalm 19, in Psalm 59, 94, and Psalm 119. The reason I read Psalm 19 at the beginning of our service today is because it captures this so well. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." That's the same word. The heavens are constantly pouring out and proclaiming the greatness of God. That's why everyone is without excuse. Everyone will be judged for rejecting God. And one way they will be judged, even if they've never heard the gospel, is because the world around us points to God. There is a God. Everyone is liable for that information because the world around us proclaims it so clearly. We need wise people to be like babbling brooks about God, because the world we live in is an unending torrent of lies and of horrible news, is it not? I mean, we live in a depraved world, and so we're constantly going to be reminded of the reality of sin, and it never ends. So as believers, we need to be honest and recognize, you know, if we aren't as active in talking about the goodness of God, then God is going to get drowned out. That can happen in your life. We shouldn't be naive about this. You know, the world is not a neutral place. If you just think you can get by another week without investing in God's word, you're fooling yourself. You're going to meet people. You're going to read the news. You're going to watch the news. And your spirit is going to be brought down. You're going to be turned inward on yourself. The way you can counter that is by reading God's word, by thinking about who he is, and by pouring that out into the lives of the people around you. I've been surprising myself recently by, you know, even in text messages. I wrote a text message to the secular company that installed our sound system. And, you know, I was writing them, hey, we're meeting this Sunday. And I was thinking, you know, should I write and say, praise God, we're meeting this Sunday? I thought, yeah, I mean, come on, the guy knows me pretty well by now. Praise God, we're meeting this Sunday. And he wrote back, you know, thumbs up. Like, yeah, you just, I mean, this is a part of who we are. If you don't know me, if you don't know that by now, I mean, that this is me. I'm living to praise God. So, yeah, you better get used to it. Some people, you have to try to get used to them cursing all the time. If you have coworkers like that, well, why don't we counter that? You know, you just have to get used to me praising God all the time. You might not like it. But hey, this is who I am. This is what God made us for. And if you don't come to Christ now, you'll understand later. I really hope you repent of your sin and come to Christ now, because there's going to come a day where you get judged by God and you realize why I'm praising God now, because you're going to be bending your knee and praising him as well. I just hope you realize that before it's too late. But that's the kind of idea that we need to be thinking about as believers. We are to be praising God. And David wants us to know we're going to be praising him forever. We need to be praising him day by day. And we need to be praising him one generation to the next. Let's pray together. And then I think we're going to end in a very fitting way by singing praise to God. Father, we are so glad that we can be back together. This is worth telling people about. This is good news that's worth sharing with the world around us. I pray that you would put us on the offensive in terms of praising you, God. May we not be able to keep it inside. May it well up inside of us and pour out over us. May we be overfilled, overwhelmed by your goodness. I just think of Psalm 23. He lays a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Help us to think about that and to have our minds filled with that to the point of overflowing into the world around us. Thank you for sending your Son and for making it possible for us to have our sin taken care of, our guilt be erased because of Christ dying on the cross for us. We pray that we would live lives of praise. In your name, amen. Okay, why don't we stand together as we sing?